The Sharpshooters, episode 74, May 30th, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
All right, Mr. Finale, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Well, we're starting a little late because I was a little tired from work, and I needed to rest up and finish the show notes, but got it done. 7:47 right now. Time to get into the show.
Are we getting into the show?
We're getting into the show. Let me start off with our website. The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Yo.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Yo.
You can leave a voicemail for us via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or dial the number 310-628-9. Sorry about that. Scratch that number. It's 310-928-6889.
Yo.
I'm still a little tired. Also, we have a Frapper map that you can join. That is a map where you can put your location and put where you listen to our show from. Speaking of that, Marcus has a couple of Frappers on the way. Go ahead,
Time for me to go to work. The most important job of the show. Number one on the list is Tony B. from Highland. Is it Highland? That's right. Yeah, Highland, Maryland. So, thank you, Tony.
Welcome, Tony.
And then there's Sambo. I'm probably butchering your name, I guess. Sambo from Erie, Pennsylvania. Congratulations, Sambo, or, you know, thank you. And then there's Obi-Tron from Bowden, England, the United Kingdom.
The UK, baby. The
More
UK
support
strong.
From the UK. So thank you,
we
everybody.
We appreciate everybody joining the Frapper Map. You know, if you join the Frapper Map, how about send us an email or drop a voicemail? Doesn't have to be long. Put what you like about the show, if you don't like the show, whatever. Just let us know about you a little bit. Also, we have Podcast Alley. There you can vote for us. I kind of am fascinated with that. I would like to crack the top 100 or 1,000. So I encourage everybody to go out there and vote. But don't vote right now.
We're like 571 now.
Wait until June comes when the votes are recycled. And let's see how much damage the Sharpshooters can do.
I can say very little.
I know, but it's worth a shot.
We're gonna scratch the wall.
That's what I want to do, though.
We're gonna scratch a little name in like lottery ticket style.
I think my new goal will be to reach at least in the top 100.
I doubt it.
Well, you never know. Well, with all the shenanigans
we're
out the way,
right now, though.
With all the shenanigans out the way, it is now time to get into the news. The first news story that we have is about the WWE Wellness Program. As you know, we announced about the drug testing policy a couple of episodes back about WWE hiring outside people to test the wrestlers for illegal drugs. Well, apparently there has been one confirmed victim of this wellness program. That victim has been Joey Mercury. He was sent to rehab effective immediately, and he will be out of action for an indefinite amount of time. It was not said what he tested positive for, or, you know, what he was doing. But anyway, he's the first one to fail. What is your thoughts on Joey Mercury failing a test?
One, I don't think it's steroids because he don't look that big.
Painkillers, maybe?
Painkillers or probably weed.
But you know, Marcus, steroids are not only to make you look bigger. There are steroids that make your muscles more flexible and stuff like that. Read the Jose Canseco book. It's a lot of other things that go to it.
He's a genius, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. But this could also explain why the sudden breakup of Eminem.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't more of Nitro and Melina being assholes backstage, but more of Mercury now being in rehab.
A lot of factors.
Yeah, that was interesting. Also reported, Chris Master is another possible wrestler who failed the test.
You're wrong.
It is reported that it's a good chance that Masters will be taken off the road for an indefinite amount of time. And an undisclosed source said, it's whatever you think it is what he tested positive for.
They're wrong.
How are they wrong?
His body is chiseled out of stone. There's no way he would do such a thing.
But he put some marble in there.
There's no way.
Now,
he's chiseled out of stone.
I think.
Let me say something.
Okay, go ahead.
About the steroids situation. Well, you know, well, if you want to say that's what you think it is Masters of steroids, that's what first comes to my mind. Second, let me say something. Now, Masters wasn't really involved in any type of storyline. Say if he was in a real storyline, would they pull him from the show right now?
Yeah, because they did that with Mercury. I mean, you realize these guys just had the tag team belts. It's a good chance that they weren't supposed to lose the belt or a long-running feud.
They were going
to
lose.
Well, a long-running feud was going to happen with London and Kendrick. It wasn't just supposed to end like that. And so I think WWE is really trying to show these wrestlers that they're serious about this. My question is, does the wellness program translate into ECW?
Well, Paul Heyman says it's going to be a new ECW that is going to be having pot-smoking drug addicts and all that stuff Mick Foley accused them of.
Let's save that for the show, Marcus. Okay. Let's save that for the show.
I know what to do.
All right, so, you know, I wish them both speedy recoveries if Chris Masters get confirmed, and I hope they take care of all their demons.
Question about the news. Is there ever going to be, like, some TNA news?
I don't know.
When's the last time TNA had a story?
It's a reason why TNA doesn't have any news. For the simple reason is that they tape all their shows. So nothing transpired because most of the wrestlers are either working indie dates or at home. So that can explain why. When TNA were doing more 2 weeks recording, they were more prominent in the news. But everything about TNA is already predetermined for the whole month. So
I don't think that's anything, dude. They just don't have anything going, it seems like.
I think that's it.
They need something.
Because even if they make an announcement of them signing a new wrestler, that new wrestler can't debut to next month till they do the next tapings.
Yeah, but any news is good news.
Not necessarily. They haven't. No news means it's actually good news because nothing's bad coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
Moving on to the next news story that I discovered, WWE pay-per-view prices could be increasing. There's a possibility that WWE will raise the price of future pay-per-views. The normal rate for pay-per-views is $34.95 US, but One Night Stand 2 was going for $39.95, and some people feel that this is the first pay-per-view to get the price hike. Hopefully, this is just an ECW thing where they're putting up $5. But I think it's about time. I mean, boxing right now is ranging from $50 a fight, even for no-name people. So I guess $5 increase could make sense for WWE.
Still, it's too much for the garbage pay-per-views that you're putting out sometimes.
But
I'm not going to pay $40 for, like, a fully loaded pay-per-view, the SmackDown only or Raw only, which has Snitsky and Goldust in a heated feud in the main event.
But, Marcus, when have you ever paid for a pay-per-view?
I paid numerous times.
Choose me stepping up to the plate. I think, honestly, what this would do by the prices, it is only $5. But the principle is, at $34.95, I was already kind of skeptical of what pay-per-views I ordered. So I'm still on the fence if I'm going to order ECW One Night Stand. I don't have $40 like that. And you ain't got no money to put on it. Yeah. So what are we going to do?
I'll put 20.
What are we going? You ain't got no 20. You say that all the time. But also I noted that in the UK, apparently One Night Stand will be free on the station that they have over. I think it's Sky One or something like that.
So I believe we should get a $5 play kit ticket to go to the UK and watch it for free.
I'm straight on that, Marcus.
That's logic.
All right. Moving on to the next story. WWE have some legal woes. They have been charged on 9 counts. With 9 violations of the Kentucky state law
from bleeding
from the Backlash pay-per-view. The law in Kentucky prohibits usage prohibits the use of blood or bleeding or blading in professional wrestling. And if the case of accidental bleeding during a match, the promoters are instructed to end the match immediately. Reports indicate that WWE tried to get permission from the state to use blood, but their requests were denied. It is reported that WWE will pay about $50,000 in fine. The state law is $5,000 per fine, per incident. But Tim Gonterman, head wrestling inspector, is attempting to get WWE banned from promoting events in the state of Kentucky due to the flagrance of their violations. First of all, I do not understand the whole bleeding thing. I understand that it's not safe, but if they're professionals, they choose to do this. I don't see them. Well, wow.
They're cutting themselves.
Kentucky really doesn't have many. No, it's not just for cutting, blading. It's if they bleed at all. Let's just say I punch John Cena in the nose and his nose start bleeding. You have to stop the match right then and there.
That would be, I think the match will be over because you shouldn't be in the ring punching John Cena.
You know what I mean. I just think for me, I guess Kentucky really doesn't have that many sports teams. I think they have the Kentucky Derby.
They got the Kentucky team.
They got the Derby and they got the Wildcats. So yeah. I'm just questioning if they had a professional team, if, let's say, they had a football team and one of the football players started bleeding, no, they stopped the game. Why is pro wrestling different from any other sport? It's entertainment. If it's considered entertainment, shouldn't they be able, in movies, they bleed?
True. But this is like more of a opera type thing. I don't believe you could bleed in the opera.
Why not?
I don't know. It's a stupid rule.
You're putting a show on. Mm-hmm. You should be able to do what you want to do. I believe this falls into the First Amendment right, but I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I just feel it's a stupid law, and also I feel it worse that this Mr. Goderman is trying to, I guess, hurt all the Kentucky fans who like wrestling if he gets WWE banned there. But in the highlight, this could be a place where TNA can go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that'd be a new little spot they can go and do house shows and entertain their crowd. But TNA bleeds too. I mean, that means no Abyss match. You ain't getting an Abyss match.
I just think
TNA bleeds, I think, more than WWE now.
I think it goes into the overall thing of them being too protective of their superstars. I mean, I understand for a lot of the indie shows and the younger wrestlers about that, but these are professionals. This is an established company. I think they should be given a little bit more leeway.
Rick Flair's been bleeding for almost 40 years. Still bleeding to this day. I see this is a stupid rule about you can't bleed in the arena and you can't be cut or you can't accidentally. So, for instance, Benoit and Finley having their match. Benoit just bled for really no reason in that match. He just probably got like a paper cut or a scrape in the eye. They have to stop that match.
The promoter's instructed to stop the match. The wrestlers are too.
Can they have boxing matches in Kentucky?
I don't know, Marcus. But you know what? We can't interpret Kentucky law. Maybe if someone out there understands it better, feel free to email us. Or if you want to comment on any of the news articles that we mentioned, let us know. TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with the Raw Report. Now get the cards, the cards from my generation. I'll take the Welcome, everybody, to the WWE Raw Report. Now, I have to say, this Raw, to me, was a very interesting Raw.
And boring!
For you, maybe. For me...
There was few spots that had my attention, but the rest of it was pure boring.
How you just gonna jump over me without me being able to say what I want to say?
Oh, I didn't know you had anything to say.
I was gonna say I was entertained by the Raw. I like this Raw. For many different reasons. I don't know why my phone just rang, because not that many people should be calling me right now, but that situation has been rectified.
Oh, he turned off the phone!
Now, overall, I believe, once again, of all the Raws of late, this was the most entertaining Raw to me. You said it was boring, but I don't know what you mean by boring.
It just didn't have anything to me.
Let's go into the show. The show opened with a video acknowledging the meaning of Memorial Day in the States. It's Memorial Day. That's the holiday that we show respect to our fallen soldiers and stuff like that. After the video, Vince came down to the ring. He was happy tonight, but several weeks ago, he wasn't. He said there is nothing more painful than seeing someone in your family suffer. They showed the video when Triple H hit Shane with the sledgehammer on accident.
Bam!
According to Vince, Shane is doing better, just a couple of concussions and headaches. On the other hand, he was happy because Shawn Michaels was no more because the Spirit Squad did exactly what he asked them to do. They aired the video of the Spirit Squad attacking Shawn's knee. After that, Vince delivered a message to Shawn. He said he knows that Shawn will never be the same, but there will always be a place for him in WWE. He could help set up the ring or be the ring announcer because there's nothing wrong with his throat. Vince was not quite satisfied, though, because what was supposed to happen last week did not completely take shape. The video aired showing Triple H destroying the Spirit Squad with the sledgehammer. He said, who in the hell did Triple H think he was? Now, once they got all that out of the way, which, you know, it recapped us all that, he kind of just segued into the whole GM thing, which I think is a big letdown for a lot of people who tune into the show. Because the one credit I was going to give Raw something, even though we know that Raw is going to be a bad show when it comes overall, they always give you that one thing to tune in for to see what happens. You know what I mean? And this one thing to tune in for was who's going to be the new GM.
Yes, because he had promised us an announcement of a new GM.
Exactly.
And instead, we get an executive assistant.
Well, yeah, Vince said he wasn't able to find anyone that was qualified enough to be the GM. So instead, he named an executive assistant, Jonathan Coachman. The coach walked out, announced the matches for the night, and he thanked Vince personally for the opportunity. Vince said he wanted to see Triple H in his office now, and Coach said, I'll go find him, boss. What disturbed me by this is why couldn't coaches be the GM? I mean, executive assistant, which means I guess that Vince is going to be on TV.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that means. It's just maybe he gets to make some matches, but Vince overall will make the final product because he wants to feud with the whole Triple H, Shawn Michaels, DX situation.
But then it makes sense that Vince does still need to be on TV for the simple fact of the DX feud. If he's not making the moves and doing the shaking and jiving, then his purpose, the DX purpose of coming back, is not there.
Well, but couldn't he just send the order to the new executive assistant to make these matches, and then they just keep bleeping things up for him, and then here comes McMahon coming back, and like, you're not getting it done, and then he finally hires a GM, who I believe should be JBL.
And, you know, that hope of JBL being a GM is not over.
Because he is no GM yet.
So anyway, after he said that he wanted Triple H in his office, he said that the next match is going to start right now. That was Kane versus Shelton Benjamin for that Intercontinental Championship belt. This belt has been defended, what, 3 weeks in a row now?
It seems like it doesn't matter.
3 weeks in a row. Pretty much how the match went, Kane kicked Shelton out of the ring. They went to commercial. Back from the break, Kane was in a chin lock, but he escaped. Kane side-slammed Shelton and then landed his clothesline from the top rope. Kane signaled for the choke slam, but Shelton countered with an arm drag. Shelton did his spin kick, but Kane caught him and attempted a suplex that was reversed into a DDT. Shelton then splashed Kane's back in the corner. He was attempting another stinger splash, but this time he was caught by Kane and a choke slam was delivered to him. The lights went out, Kane old music hit, and then walked out 90s Kane. He got into the ring, stared at Kane, then choke slammed him to the center of the ring. Marcus, I'll let you go with this first.
Shades are pretty much the Hell in a Cell match Undertaker had with Shawn Michaels back when in the first Hell in a Cell match, actually. And, you know, Kane comes out and he kills the Undertaker, except for no tombstone. And first, he casts a big-ass wig.
The wig was ridiculous, but it served its purpose,
it
man.
It proved that the guy wasn't as tall as Kane in that mask.
I don't care. You know what?
He had to have the extra hair on top of a wig.
The hair worked. I don't care. He was just the same height as Kane.
No, he wasn't.
He was just the same height.
He was short. He was looking up at Kane.
No, he was skinnier than Kane, but he was still the same height.
He wasn't the same size. If you're trying to get a clone, get a clone. There was somebody else available. Couldn't the Undertaker come in for like one night?
No.
just wear the wig.
Because you have to have somebody that plays a character throughout.
Yeah, but how long is this going to go?
I don't know.
Was this a one-night thing? Was this an imaginary Kane?
No.
Or like, GR, are we looking inside Kane's soul?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Ain't nothing like the paradox. Now, are you finished with the comment on this match?
Yeah. Other than that, I guess Shelton did his best to try to make it a good match, but it's so hard to have a good match with Kane.
You know, I think you come in hating Raw so much that it's hard for you to see it. This was a very good match.
No, but it seemed like I've seen it before.
No, you have never seen anybody do reversals on Kane. What have you ever seen anybody try to wrestle Kane and counter a choke slam? Shelton put on a show. Kane let the counters we have. It told a good psychology. And then this new twist with the 90s Kane coming out with the big wig and the mask. It throws a different level to the Kane character, which is pretty much dead. You trying to tell me you're not intrigued to see what happens with 90s Kane versus Kane?
I would be more intrigued if I haven't seen Undertaker versus Undertaker before. You know how that turned out. That wasn't that pretty, was it? And first of all, what frustrates me about this whole segment with Kane is that we hear See No Evil all through the show.
Yeah, See No Evil.
All through the show and all through the match. Oh, Kane, he's as dangerous as he was in this movie, See No Evil, which is in theaters right now. Oh, a choke slam. He'd think he did that to See No Evil.
I don't care. As long as that, I will never forget the picture of the big wigged Kane coming out to the
ring. That's the greatest thing ever.
That
was a nice little moment there. And another thing that bugged me is that they have it just seems like the Intercontinental title is dying and dying some more. Because, look, Shelton Benjamin has won this title. Charlie Haas and him was having some type of little feud that was they were making up, in which they looked like they totally dropped to put Charlie Haas on Heat. And then they have Carlito, who they don't even put on Raw, and just suspend him to Heat after he's one of the hardest workers I've seen on the show.
Sir, I disagree with you.
I'm
because
pissed off. And then you have Matt Stryker, who was feuding with Eugene.
Can I make my point?
Go ahead, right now.
I disagree with you for the simple fact that Kane has been destroying people for the last couple of weeks.
Rey Mysterio.
Just like Umaga. No, he has been beating people up on Raw, but you know, we don't pay much attention. It makes sense for him to get this title shot. True, maybe a Carlito or Charlie Haas, but the point is, this is more to introduce 90s Kane. Next week, Shelton will fight somebody else.
And here's another thing. Why did Big Show get a title shot against Edge and Kane, his tag team partner, who I believe has, I don't even know.
They explain,
none of their matches ever had like a decision.
No, they explain why Big Show and Edge were selected to get the title
why
shot.
Big Show?
Because they were both former champions. That was the whole reason why they put these two. Coach wanted two former champions. And if you think about it, there's only one other former champion on the show, and that's Triple H.
And he's busy. Shawn Michaels is injured.
So moving on with the show.
Kane is a former champion.
Yeah, but Kane has his demons. Moving on with the show, Coach was backstage. He asked Carlito, did he see Triple H? Carlito said no and walked away. Pretty much that was all Carlito for the night, but he was on Heat, apparently. Then Armando Alejandro Estrada entered the picture and informed the coach that if Vince needed anything, he just needs to ask. Coach walked away, and then Viscera came into the picture and threw Estrada against the wall and said he didn't appreciate him putting his man, Umaga, getting into his business last week.
I thought Vince was going all hiding right on him.
I didn't know what was happening right there. I was like, oh, wow, this is really interesting.
I thought he was getting hiding raped.
But what I thought was a bad segue, though, was that we go inside Vince's office, and who was to walk in but Triple H?
That was that TNA stuff.
Wasn't Coach just looking for this man?
Well, he was out in the back.
So he's a botched executive assistant because he can't find Triple H, and Triple H is already inside.
Mm-hmm.
So Triple H walked in and wanted to know if Vince had a problem with him. He added things would have gone as planned if Kenny did not butt in. Vince said Hunter would get his chance at revenge because he would make this match a spirit jack match, where a member of the Spirit Squad would surround each point of the ring. Point blank, didn't really care.
It's another 5-on-1 Spirit Squad match.
In a way, except with Kenny being in the middle of the ring.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same type of match. Spirit Squad in the main event again. I don't know what these rooks have done to be on the main event of Raw week after week in handicap matches against Triple H and Shawn Michaels week after week.
Well, because
week.
I think they're the most entertaining thing, and if they're going to have a DX feud, you got to realize who can be fighting them, the Spirit Squad. What I think that WWE is going to do is they're going to really deteriorate the value of these guys by overkilling them, because like you said, week after week they're there. How about let them well, I don't know if they can talk or not.
And then they have the tag team titles, and they don't have any intentions of ever defending those.
Because there's no tag teams, Marcus.
There's Murdoch and Kane.
Exactly.
There's Viscera. There's Snitsky and Goldust.
Marcus, there's no one worth. They had their shot. They blew it. All right, so we move on to the next match. It's Umaga versus Viscera. A note of this match, which was, I don't understand where they're going with this. As Lillian was introducing Viscera, she had that twinkle in her eye again.
That twinkle, that spark. The spark is back. So once you go Vince, you don't go back.
So Vince was walking down to the ring, and in great fashion, Umaga jumps in from behind.
A good old-fashioned mugging.
Marcus, I'm enjoying Umaga more and more. I don't know if it's him beating up Vince.
It's Viscera.
I think this has to do it. So anyway, my favorite part of this whole night, though, is after he does the STO on the ramp.
It's not the STO. STO was going forward. This one is pulling backwards. I don't know. I can't remember the name of this one.
All right. It's an STO-like maneuver. It doesn't matter.
It goes backwards.
Well, anyway, the best part is when he's picking him up, and he's putting him in the ring, and he kicks him in the ass. He's in the ring.
I'm not going to push your fat ass in there. I'm kicking you in the butt.
No, he's like, get your ass in the ring. So anyway, he kicks his ass in the ring finally. Then he climbs the top rope and he does a big, I guess it's a Samoan splash off the top rope.
No, it's just a big splash.
A big splash.
Money shot, if you want to call it that.
After that, Lillian, they keep cutting to Lillian. She's looking distressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits the Samoan spike. The match is over. 1, 2, 3. I thought it was crazy, too. When a ref called for the bell, it was like a minute. Minute and a half delay before they ring the bell. and then the point of Lillian saying, that's not fair. That's not fair. I just don't know where they're going with this. You cannot have Big Vis get a push. And this is not a pay-per-view caliber match at Vengeance.
Nah. They could have ended the feud here. I mean, well, you got to sell him as beating the big guy because you see them only beating little guys. You don't want him fighting Kane right now because he's busy fighting himself. I wouldn't mind seeing him feud with the Big Show. He's a big guy.
No, no. Because
Big Show isn't doing anything.
But
currently.
I think the Big Show still has value. Right now, Umaga's stock is rising, Marcus.
It's rising to the point that he's getting good fan reaction. Yes. And the crowd is chanting, Armando, Alejandro, and I can't roll my tongue.
I think how Vince, ideal thing was to have him face John Cena for the belt. I think it's at that point where, you know, John Cena has that much hatred that Umaga could get cheered.
I've seen him get cheered already for some reason. It's like he hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, at first,
other than destroying Ric Flair, come on.
What? I mean, first,
it had to happen.
We were really upset about the Samoan spike, but now with him adding more moves to it, it's just as bad as the FU. So you move past it.
No, the Samoan spike is as bad as it gets. No, it's not as bad as. Once you see the Great Khali, you respect Umaga a lot more. Because the chop is nothing compared to the great Samoan spike.
No, but things is, before the Samoan spike come, you already been put through hell. You have the headbutt or the big splash. I mean,
and
it works out.
Want me to see no one's getting Umaga over more?
Armando, Alejandro, Estrada.
A manager.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what Floyd said weeks ago, I think, that these guys didn't used to talk, these big power guys didn't talk. They would have a manager do all the talking. What was Armando doing? He's doing all the talking. Umaga's biting his thumb, giving people the spike.
Exactly. So we're moving on to the next match of the night. That's Victoria and Candice, accompanied by Mickie James, versus Tori and Beth Phoenix with Trish Stratus. So pretty much it's the brunettes versus the blondes. That's how it was.
That's how I saw it.
And I was like, who did you like more? I was going with the brunettes.
The brunettes was worrying for me.
All right. So Tori gave herself a wedgie and then delivered the stink face to Victoria. This was an interesting stink face because you give yourself a wedgie to stink face another woman. What? Okay.
It works for the viewers.
After that, Candice was tagged in and delivered a bomb to Tori. At this point, I cringe because Tori and Candice should never be in the ring together. But
no.
Then she did her GoDaddy spin elbow drop move.
She had her under control in this match.
Then Beth got tagged in and cleared the ring, and Victoria got knocked into Mickey, who was at ringside. Beth landed the Michioku driver.
It wasn't. It was just a power slam.
It was a falling power slam. No, it was a Michioku driver.
I didn't see the driver part.
It was. If you go back and watch the footage, because I am going to go back and watch Raw tonight, because I just want to see it again. And Candice, they scored the victory.
It just looked like a regular slam to me.
Once again, I think what this match showed is that Beth can wrestle. She has some good moves.
I was shocked to not see Mickey involved in this match.
Well,
I understand why. Because you don't want her and Beth Phoenix actually to fight. But I don't see why you'll put Candice, who's been Mr. McMahon's lapdog for a few weeks, and all of a sudden she's thrown in a match.
Because it's a Divas match, and they have to do is, I think really what they need to do, they have to let us know who this Beth Phoenix is, because we really don't know. You don't know what her thing is, because, you know, we know who Mickey is. She's that crazy SOB that we like.
Yeah, and this week I was actually expecting a backstory or something of what happened or what she has done to her. But I believe we're not getting probably a backstory until probably following the ECW pay-per-view when they have no more filler of ECW in there, and it'll give us the story set up for Vengeance.
Well, speaking of ECW, awesome segue, Marcus.
Of course.
They aired the Memorial Day video again to signify hour number two. Once that video ended, Jerry Lawler is in men red. He said he has seen enough of Paul Heyman, Sabu, Sandman, and Taz. He talked about Taz not being in shape anymore, called him a king wannabe. Mm. After that, RVD music hit and interrupted the King's rant. RVD came out, defended Taz, and said he was smart enough and he knew when it was time to hang up the tights and become a commentator. Once again,
he also said, unlike some people here, talking about Jerry Lawler.
Yes. So once again, the shots, this is RVD did what Christian was not able to accomplish on TNA.
But not a lot of people lately have been able to come. Sheldon failed. Christian has failed. Kennedy, when he was doing it, failed. It's been hard for a good JBL and Booker T and the only two has really been successful doing this.
But what I thought, if this is the RVD that we're set to receive at ECW, this is going to be awesome.
They letting them talk.
So
and
anyway,
he did a great job.
The match was Johnny Nitro. He was the guy that Cena was supposed to face, as the coach announced that he had never faced before, which means that Melina and Nitro are on Raw now.
And was it me or did they just look naked?
I don't know.
They looked like they were missing something.
And you know, Mercury.
Yes.
Now, you know the entrance that they did, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
That's the entrance that they did in Ohio Valley when it was just them together.
Oh,
I
no
guess
Mercury
was added on later. I'm not really sure how that worked, but that's how come they were so fluent with doing that entrance where they show the split and then he sticks his head right in the way. Was really disturbed by that.
Oh, yeah, that was disturbing indeed.
So throughout the entire match, though, RVD and King argued about ECW. King asked RVD why did he want to go back down to the small time. RVD said he had to adjust to WWE styles when he came to WWE. He said his purpose was to explain ECW to the masses. The competitive level in ECW is higher than WWE, according to RVD. Then, John Cena pretty much just whooped Nitro's ass. Why the King and RVD continue to discuss ECW. I have more King rants. RVD said, you will see the real RVD in ECW because ECW fans demand more of wrestlers than anywhere else. And when you don't deliver, they boo you. He added that he would rather see someone take a steel chair to the teeth than dress up as Vanilla Ice and sing to us. Shot at Cena, and I was like, ouch.
Oh, wasn't that Marky Mark?
No. But what I thought was a very good aspect, though, is right after he said that, Ross pointed out that Cena was cheered in Tacoma, Washington. But at the ECW one-night stand, he will be booed.
Actually, Rob Van Dam said that, too.
No, it was Ross, though.
Did Ross bring it up and Rob Van Dam just
followed
him?
Yeah, he followed it after that.
Okay.
I think this is a good point because now, you know, for all the Cena haters, if you want to see him get booed out the building, you're going to order the pay-per-view.
I'm paying for it. I'm just like that. Right there. This is Cena. Anyway, so...
I still got more.
Oh.
I just got a little bit more.
Okay.
This is just the match. I have to at least tell what happened in the match. The match was pretty basic. Cena got his five-knuckle shuffle. RVD added that you won't see that you can't see me crap at an ECW arena. He delivered the FU and the STFU to win the match. After the match, they had a stare down. RVD took off the headphones. He stood on the apron, but Cena threw Nitro, who attempted to attack him from behind, into RVD. That's how the match and segment entered. Excellent segment. To me, it built up the hype between the match between RVD and John Cena.
The only part I enjoyed was RVD doing commentary. Because it was just a basic squash match that they could have stuck anybody in there other than Nitro, who when you make a transition from a show, you don't go up there and be the first squash match. You just don't. I ain't never seen that done. Oh, he's making his debut. It's Johnny Nitro and Melina. Melina didn't interfere really in the match. I don't believe she did at all. And it just seemed like they just forced on here. Or maybe this is punishment for their misbehaviors in the back.
It could be. But you remember how we was bitching about that Raw had no credible opponents for their wrestlers? I think it sucks for Nitro, but I think this is the best thing that they can do. Because once again, it gives John Cena some more cred because... Johnny Nitro is a three-time tag team champion. He has some lineage. You know, he was a star on SmackDown. Cena went through him like the quickness, like a champion should. So it was no getting his ass kicked, then he makes that miraculous comeback. He got in the ring. He took care of business. Cena looked very good in this match. And it's better to have Cena being looking good compared to him looking bad going into RVD.
It made Nitro look horrible.
Who cares about Nitro? Nitro... and Melina are nothing without Mercury. You
because,
said it.
Because when he tried to attack Cena from behind doing the great RVD John Cena stare down of the ages, Cena just moved out the way and threw him over. It's an RVD.
But I think it just goes back into punishment, personally.
Punishment to make him look just completely weak?
Oh, I mean, you only can do so much. First of all, Nitro, if anybody thought he had a shot of winning the championship...
It wasn't for a title.
Well, whatever. If anybody had a shot, I thought he was going to beat Cena, would be fooling himself.
Yeah.
I never thought this was going to happen.
I thought there was going to be some outside interference by RVD, maybe. Or I thought Melina would get involved in some fashion. And not win, But make it, give some type of cred or something. Maybe a disqualification or something.
No, I see Nitro challenging for the Intercontinental title. Shelton's belt is hot right now.
I can actually see that being a good athletic match because Nitro can flip.
He can flip.
We've seen Nitro athletic stuff. You saw the leg drop in the match. You saw that leg drop.
Marcus, let's not go into the leg drop.
I mean, he put Ron Killings to shame.
All right. Moving into my probably favorite segment of the night, that's when Mick Foley and Paul Heyman had their stare off. Foley began their discussion by earning his cheap pop as usual, saying, isn't it great to see Melina in Washington? He admitted that he was guilty of being a prostitute somewhat because everybody in WWE does things that they don't want to do to get on to the top.
Oh,
according to Foley, the only difference between ECW Mick Foley and a WWE Mick Foley is he traded in a low life, nothing happening, pimp like Heyman for a $1 billion pimp like Vince.
Oh, man.
He then wished luck to Heyman with his charming little band of pot-smoking, porn-addicted, cheap, second-rate Mick Foley ripoffs. Before I continue, do you have anything to add about Mick Foley comments?
Well, first of all, we have learned Mick Foley is a prostitute.
Somewhat.
He's being pimped by Vince McMahon.
Indeed.
And apparently he doesn't care about his legacy. Well, as he said to Terry Funk.
No, they have not mentioned the legacy.
He said he's a prostitute.
Marcus.
Wasn't that trying to destroy your legacy?
He said somewhat. Heyman called Foley a Terry Funk ripoff. Ooh. Foley admitted that Funk was the greatest wrestler he ever saw and that Tommy Dreamer is tough and has a lot of heart. Foley said he did something they did not have the guts to do. Heyman responded by saying, pulling a sock out of your pants to entertain Vince when he was in a hospital. And wonder how many shots Foley had before he did that. Nice shot. Foley could have been delivered a little bit better.
He had one.
Foley accused those wrestlers of having bingo hall balls. Oh. They were afraid to apply their craft on the big stage. Foley said Heyman does not hate him because he sold out, but because he had the audacity to realize on his own volition what everyone did sooner or later, that the road from ECW led only four ways, as a drunk, a drug addict, a criminal, or a corpse. I thought that was a powerful line
That was some serious shit.
That was like, ooh.
Talking about like Guerrero and...
No.
Robin Dam, he's smoking weed, man.
Well, you know, he had his Robin Dam popped
up. I know.
So let me continue. Heyman said he does not resent Foley's accomplishments, but how he has thrown his legacy away to align himself with Edge and Lita. He said that Funk and Dreamer will live up to the standards set by ODCW and the Edge and Foley match at WrestleMania. He said, pay attention to One Night Stand for the new vision of ECW. He said, it just won't be about barbed wire or baseball bat and flaming tables.
And peanut butter jelly.
They will still have some of that. He informed Mick of the full-time status of how they are getting the show for the first time they mentioned that, and how Vince has granted him 2 draft picks, 1 from Raw, 1 from SmackDown. When he said that, I was shocked because I knew nothing about it. Apparently, it was reported on the website.
I seen it on the website.
But still having it announced on Raw was really nice. I thought they were going to make us wait a couple of weeks before it happened.
I thought it was going to be each show. I thought we was going to get the one for Raw tonight.
Yeah.
And then on SmackDown, he'll go in there and do it again.
Yeah, so Foley guessed from Raw that, you know, Heyman would choose RVD. And, of course, because he was a true high flyer, that he act like he smoked a joint.
He just said it was 420.
And Heyman agreed and said when he defeats Cena, and we know he will, they will re-up that title, the ECW Championship. But Foley could not figure out who would be from SmackDown. Heyman said, well, that person is backstage right now. Would you like to meet him? That's when, for intro and everything, Kurt Angle, music hits, he walks out to the stage.
Foley pounces.
He Foley tries to attack, but Angle lands the Angle Slam and Murder, She Wrote.
Yes, and out of curiosity, why did Foley attack Kurt Angle?
Because Kurt Angle is now ECW, Marcus. It's WWE versus ECW.
Yeah, but Mick Foley attacked him for really no reason.
Floyd, I remember you asked a simple question of why to watch ECW. Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle and Rob Van Dam.
I mean, I'm really interested to see. I might even pop in the RVD DVD right now after this.
Pop in that or the Bloodiest Matches, because the Bloodiest Matches has a lot of good matches.
I don't know what I'm going to do now, but all I have to say is the segment was excellent. Foley and Heyman. Foley sounded like a complete sellout, but still kept his cred, saying that the reason why he sold out because he needed to move someplace and he didn't want to he didn't want to face the harsh realities that happened with ECW. But Heyman said, why are you still giving up your legacy for Edge and Lita?
Otherwise, he said he didn't want to look like Raven.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's a different story. What I like is how they calmly, but so subdubly, have been set
subdubly.
Up. That's not a real word.
I know.
Anyway, so, but they have, you know, set up little storylines in little formats. For instance, JBL calling Vince on WWE Unlimited about he needed Kane that one night. Mm-hmm. And then on SmackDown this week, you see Heyman saying, Matt Hardy, you're a good guy. But later on when, I can't remember who's walking back, you see Heyman and Kurt Angle having a riveting conversation.
What I think is interesting, too, is that I didn't put in my notes, but Heyman did mention that it's an open invitation for any superstar that wants to go to ECW from the... I have to say, Matt Hardy, take him up on that offer. You need to leave.
Matt Hardy needs to leave if they don't sign Jeff. But if they sign Jeff, he can take Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and you put them on Raw to make them another tag team.
I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Edge in ECW.
Edge would be great in ECW. Edge deserves more than what he's getting.
But
treated.
I think Edge will be get a serious title run after this. I think.
Will he get the title?
Or is it
one of those, I'm going to chase Cena for the rest of my life. And I'm never going to beat him.
But also I thought was another nice note was the commercial right after where they announced that on June 7th, that's a Wednesday, it will be WWE versus ECW in a 2-hour live event.
Now, I'm not sure when ECW premieres on the Sci-Fi Network. Some people say
June 13th.
Some people say it's Wrestling on One Night Stand.
June 13th.
The week, right?
No, June 13th. Tuesday following the pay-per-view.
Okay. Is it that the same week as ECW versus WWE?
No. That's next
okay.
week.
Because that would have been a whole week of nonstop wrestling.
I'm just saying.
You would have had Raw. You would have had the special of WWE versus ECW. You would have also had TNA on Thursday. And you would have had, you know, whatever.
Well, the next 2 weeks are going to be hellacious for the wrestling world.
Well, it's going to be, I guess, important.
It's going to be, it's really going to see what's going to happen.
Because ECW, as we've been stating, will be TNA's number one competition because they're equal one-hour shows. And that if ECW pulls off a better one-hour show than TNA, TNA can be killed.
Indeed. So moving on with the show, the next moment was one of my favorite segments that they do on Raw. I don't know if they do it on SmackDown because I really don't pay attention.
No, they don't do it at all.
It's the 24/7 this week in wrestling history. This week they focused on Andre the Giant, how he was revolutionary. They showed clips of his matches, his appearances in movies, and so on. Mm-hmm. It was a nice little clip. I didn't really get into detail because I don't remember much from it. But this week, Andre debuted in the wrestling
world.
Yes,
this week in wrestling is great. Other than the one that Vince McMahon triumphs over God, that was the only one I didn't really care about.
Because I think that was the first one that's the move. And I just knew after this, though, they were Big Show's about to have his match. I actually thought by seeing that video, Big Show actually had a chance to win. That's what kind of scared me.
No, I didn't think so because I saw the Vengeance poster.
Okay.
Which has Edge seen it.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty much...
They really got to stop releasing these posters.
And now here's the question, though. Here's a little side question. It segues into this number one contender and an ECW. Should I wait till you after you give the review or
on the match?
Yeah, after you cover it.
Okay.
Because follows or
let me do it after. All right. So it's Edge and Big Show versus the number one contendership match. Show used his strength advantage early in the match and delivered his silencing chop in the corner. He gave Edge a big boot, but could not proceed because Lita grabbed his leg. He didn't just yank turn the ring by her leg. I thought that was a great spot. I don't know why. I enjoy seeing his power to yank her into the ring.
That was hilarious.
And also, Lita bought a new shirt.
Yeah, this is a different one. And then Big Show throws her on the ground.
Yeah, he did that.
He was a bad guy.
Edge tried to attack the Show, but he caught him and delivered snake eyes. Eventually, Edge got some offense in. He got a DDT. He went for the spear, but Show blocked it and attempted the choke slam, but Edge escaped by grabbing the referee. But he still got tossed out the ring. Edge grabbed the chair because the ref was still kind of out of it. He got in the ring with the chair, but the Show punched the chair out of his hands. Lita came in, gave Show a low blow. While the ref got rid of the chair, Show got the upper hand, grabbed Lita by the throat, but the ref saw it, and for some reason he said this could not happen in this ring. That's when he was trying to get Lita out the ring. Edge got in, hit him in the jaw with the chair, gave him a spear. Edge wins this match.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I hate the spear. But beside the point, overall, good match, told a story. Interesting what's going to happen next week with Big Show and Edge, if it's going to be any repercussions.
Now, I thought Big Show was actually going to... Because there was so much time left in the show. I thought Big Show was actually going to kick out of this moment. And that would have gave the match a little bit more points and gave Big Show a lot more credit if he would have kicked out. Still, I don't know how you would end it after that, but that was up to them. I would like to see him kick out. Anyway, the spear shouldn't be his finish move. Can't be him or and Lashley's finish move. Let me give him my comment. Edge is now the number one contender, right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, who is going to win at ECW One Night Stand?
Well, see, I think how they have it set up, if RVD wins, it's going to be called the ECW belt, but the WWE title still exists because you cannot have two champions, but he's the champion of the promotion. I think that's the only thing that they can do.
I think, yeah, that's
what. Or even if RVD loses, you know, Heyman still can crown him the ECW champ. It works out that way.
I can see RVD winning at One Night Stand, like, due to, like, some interference because Vince don't probably want to discredit his Raw wrestlers, I guess. So I can see interference for like other ECW Superbar, maybe a Sabu run in here and there.
Sabu.
Or maybe Super Crazy will come in, or maybe Taz will choke out Cena or something.
No, I still think Taz is going to fight the King.
It could possibly happen. Anyway, and but it's not too many WWE superstars on ECW.
No.
Anyway.
I think you have to have your feel, but the point is, if I think the reason why you're getting filled in is more believable that they're going in that new direction.
Anyway, I can see RVD winning by like a disqualification because of runnings by ECW, just the upstage WWE. And then the WWE title will be vacant, and then Avengers, Edge, and Cena will be fighting for who get the title.
We'll see.
Because Edge can't steal the belt from Cena like this.
Good point. So we get backstage, Triple H is stopped by Vince. Vince notices the sledgehammer, a.k.a. Triple H's friend, and asks Triple H if he could see his friend. Vince said that this is the thing that hit his son and should have been used on Shawn Michaels. Vince added that he had all the confidence in Triple H, and he took the sledgehammer away from him, or took his friend away. Jerk-ass move by.
He just Vince. Walked away with it. That's like somebody walking up to you. Hey, man, can I have some of your potato chips? Here, let me reach in the bag
myself.
It's
like myself. That damn Starbucks commercial.
And then he eats it and be like, you know what, you're getting a little fat. And then walks out with
the
it.
The Starbucks commercial with the dude, the klepto. I don't know. Hunter would never do it. Hey, that's my sledgehammer.
I would like that. And disappointing, no King of King music this
week. No promo music. So anyway, now it's time for the main event. It's Kenny of the Spirit Squad versus Triple H in a Spirit Jack match. Hunter got his high knee and attempted the pedigree, but a Spirit Squad member grabbed his leg. Hunter then beat up the members of the Spirit Squad, and they went to a commercial. When they came back from the commercial, Kenny had missed the move and ran shoulder first into the ring post. Johnny got his Johnny go round kick after waiting I don't know how long on Triple H. It just seemed like Triple H was like, I'm gonna take my goddamn time. While the ref was distracted, Kenny then mocked HBK like he tuned the band, but Hunter avoided the kick and got a DDT. Eventually, the Spirit Squad got involved again, and they worked over Triple H's knee. Kenny followed that with a chop block. He pulled Triple H's knee pad down and exposed the knee. He was going to drop a leg from the tie rope onto his knee, but Triple H kicked Nikki into the ropes, which crotched Kenny, and some... JR said something about one test ago going left and another one going right. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Hunter then gave a clothesline, a face buster on a knee that was not hurt to Kenny, cleared the Spirit Squad out of the ring, landed the pedigree for the victory of the match. After the match, though, the Spirit Squad, of course, in Spirit Squad fashion, jumped him, focusing on the knee. He was knocked outside of the ring. They banged his head on an announce table. Triple H crawled and pleaded for them to stop. Stop it, please. Stop it, please. And I was looking at this like, wow. Triple H is asking people to stop. This is a different thing for me. Then I realized it was because he had a clever ploy that he had a friend under the ring announce table, which was another sledgehammer. He pulled out the sledgehammer. Johnny tried to hit Triple H with the chair, but he got him first with the hammer, knocked some other Spirit Squad members out with the hammer. That was point made. He got a ring and celebrated until Vince came out, congratulated Triple H, said that next week he had something special for Triple H, and that was he can join the Kiss My Ass Club. And then he did a little jig, which was very disturbing.
Yes.
Overall, once again, setting up more
DX.
I would have preferred to see maybe a JBL talking about he's working with Vince or something like that. Or, you know, something
he
of that nature.
This Triple H JBL feud to happen.
Or maybe someone else from DX who might be in DX to come in and help. But I guess, I don't know how it's supposed to work, but I felt they could have did more in this situation.
I felt they should have shined the guy on the hammer. I don't know why.
Marcus Stone.
No, I don't mean blood. I just mean the spotlight, really. Just because you know how it was just all of them. It was like, God. He has the power. He turned into He-Man and got his sword back. But the funniest part in which you skipped in your notes is when he looks out of the ring and like, oh no, my hammer is gone. But my question is, he was not looking for the hammer in that situation. He was looking for Philly's Leprechaun to help him out.
Don't bring up Philly's Leprechaun. It would be funny if the green light would have came up. Well, that pretty much did it for Raw. Unlike Marcus, I did enjoy Raw. It established stories for me. I thought the matches made sense on the night. And it was overall entertaining to me.
It was okay, now that I reflect on the
So makeup. It wasn't as boring as you said it was earlier.
It was, yeah, I guess I can reflect somewhat when I review something. Because I enjoy the whole, the awe of the hammer. The slash.
No, not the hammer. His friend.
I enjoyed Viscera being kicked in the ass by Umaga.
That was the greatest thing. Get your ass in the ring.
Kane versus Kane. At Avengers pay-per-view?
The wig, man. The wig. The wig made Raw special for me.
Anyway, special wig.
No, you know doing counters on Kane, too. That was nice.
You know Raw was in Rare 4 when they had Kane wearing a special wig. The fake Kane.
RVD actually doing some commentating, letting the real personality of RVD get across.
Mm-hmm.
Mick Foley taking shots at ECW, calling them a bunch of criminals, druggies, alcoholics, and sex porn likers.
Yeah, and giving himself, taking shots at himself by calling him a pimp. I mean, no, calling him a prostitute
and being
who
pimp.
Works for a major pimp like Vince.
So, I lost what I said. I don't understand why you didn't see that you was it wasn't as bad as you thought at first.
I
think your problem is you're so influenced by Ryan.
No, it's just that it's just like, it's some stuff, it's just like, see, the matches weren't nothing. I prefer having at least one good match a week. And there wasn't one that just sparkled at me. And then when you watch it, and not when you review it, you don't get boggled down with Sino Evil and just all through the show. I mean, they went to the premiere again. There was like commercials and the Smash. They were just going over it. They went back to show another clip of Sino Evil. And it was just frustrating.
I will agree that the pimping of Sino Evil really sucked. Especially when Sino Evil was, the pimping was set to fill the match's time length. I felt, the matches that I felt went the right length, Shelton and Kane, that went the right length to me. Viscera and Umaga went the right length to me.
2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly, but I think you have to give him being the you Samoan bulldozer, so you have to get that quick. I felt that the, whatever match happened, it was, I can't think of it.
Triple H and Spirit Squad?
Spirit Squad, that went the right amount of length for what it needed to do. I think the match that lacked all of the thing was the Edge and Big Show. I think that one should have went a little bit longer considering that it has so much on the line. I think a kick out by Big Show would have added to the mystique, and maybe Lita could have did something else to get, you know, Big Show out.
Yeah, maybe in a concerto or something. I don't know, but they could have did something else in that match. And I felt that week after week, the Spirit Squad get the main event. And my problem with Raw this week is also, even though I hate John Cena, he's the champion, and he hasn't really been displayed as champion. Him and RVD could have been later in the show and not just thrown in the middle of the show before the number one contender match for the title and the Spirit Squad handicap match with Triple H, which has been occurring. I think the number one contender match should have actually ended the show because it has important. It's supposed to have some importance that the WWE title is important in this situation that the number one contender, like TNA is doing with the King of the Mountain, always the main event.
Actually, I felt that the John Cena match was placed perfectly. I think where it was located at is where it needed to be.
That's okay with that match. That match is not offended by. The number one contender match should have been the main event.
I think Triple H and the Spirit Squad should have had no match at all.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It just went up. Overall, though, I enjoyed Raw. Marcus was okay on the Raw.
It was okay because I was frustrated with the Spirit Squad week after week. See no evil plugs,
Marcus,
all through the show.
You're repeating what you just said.
I know. And frustrations. The Divas was a waste of time.
The biggest possibility to me, the positive thing, is that John Cena actually looked like a real champ.
Not really.
He beat Nigel's ass.
Yeah, but
like a champ should do. The point is,
Paul London did it for
the first time. He got a squash.
Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Nice to see a champ get a squash.
He had a squash last week with Masters. He put him in STFU.
Masters just no cred.
They threw
what has Masters won? The Master Lock Challenge.
That's pretty.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back with listener feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for what everybody asked for, what everybody loves. It is now time for listener feedback.
Yes, the horns have played, and the best segment that is the best segment is out there, and it's time to get into it.
All right, the first email we received is from Eric P. He says, "Dear fellow sharpshooters, wrestling has been interesting these past few weeks. These are not true spoilers, but my predictions. DX will return with a bang with members Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Carlito, Maria, and maybe a legend return. I agree that JBL could be GM or Raw. I'll be glad because I'm sick of Vince and the product of his semen. Shane, Chris Masters will head to SmackDown and challenge Lashley for US Go. RVD will lose at One Night Stand with Mike Sadness and lose control and head to ECW. It's true that everyone hates Cena, but you can't really see him without the WWE title. I will stop now because I don't want to ruin everybody's watching the wrestling. Attaches a picture of what we might see soon on Raw. So use as a cover for the show, please. Eric P., your request has been granted. That will be the picture that shows up in the album art.
I don't remember the picture.
It's
honestly.
The DX
chop. Oh, the chop, yes.
I like that, so it will be the picture on
Why
the
not?
iTunes.
Yes. Oh, also on that note, send us your pictures. We don't mind that. If we like it a lot, we'll use that as the cover.
Yeah.
That would be
I always like adding new pictures.
Yes.
You want to go first?
Well, RVD and I don't know. I think RVD's going to win, and then, you know, they're going to have the vacant title at Vengeance.
I think your predictions are pretty good. I'm not too big on the JBL not being GM. I think it might be a way he tried to wiggle his way back into SmackDown.
Also,
I was going to say, I think you really, before you can think of JBL situation, you have to really see how it takes place on SmackDown this week, personally, first.
Well, I believe he's going to be replaced by Ken Kennedy and there's two losses of Kurt Angle and JBL. Ken Kennedy and who's the other guy's coming? Batista going to fill the spot. Also, in DX, the other members, it could either be Carlito and Maria, but I've also thought of Nitro and Melina as well.
I've heard X-Pac, but that's just...
I don't need him!
All right.
I don't need Sean Waltman.
So
I don't need the one
Marcus, calm
kids.
Down.
I don't need
Marcus,
six.
Calm down. All right, so we move on to our next email. Once again, thanks, Eric, for that email. We received this email from Amir. He says, "Hey guys, what's up? I just wanted to give another email regarding what is going on in wrestling today. Hopefully this email won't be too long. On the subject of John Cena and RVD, I'm becoming more of a Cena fan now. Yes, but I think he will lose the title at ECW. He will not only get booed and FU Cena gems, but there will be trash thrown in the ring.
Yes.
He will have to run out of there after the match, and if he wins, someone will get hurt and they will be protesting. I think JBL will go to Raw or go to ECW. I think Matt Hardy will too, and so will Jeff, because Matt Hardy and Teddy Long were talking before Paul Heyman, and maybe Melina and Nitro will go to ECW. What we know about Melina and Nitro going to ECW is not happening because they're on Raw." But he says he doubted anyway. "I think they are doing DX pretty good, but when Triple H hit Shane with the hammer, he didn't have to be..." Oh, God, I hit the guy.
Eric effed up and hit the keyboard and scrolled down all the way. He lost the email, but he got it back.
All right. He hit him with the, he didn't have to be all, "I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry that he did it." And I think they're making DX too obvious because they made a trailer for Vengeance saying that DX is back. And in Raw Magazine, there's an ad for Vengeance and DX is spread over it.
Yeah, the storyline seems to be working.
Well, thanks. Keep up the good work. And that was from Amir. I would have to agree. I have to say, of late, WWE has been the most awful as trying to keep secrets of what's going on.
Well, this is since they decided to cover the news and try to eliminate news sites because they don't like the way they're putting out their business.
I guess. No, no.
But this is the poster.
No, before they even did news sites, they were releasing posters early.
Yeah, that's stupid.
All right, thanks, Amir, for that.
Is there something else I want to comment on there? What did he say? I don't think Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy will be in ECW. I can see them either on Raw or SmackDown because they need tag teams over there. And ECW is more going to be like a developmental. And what I've heard, they're going to like dismantle Deep South. And I believe all their tag teams are probably going
to
come in.
Well, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with Jeff Hardy because apparently he's supposed to return to TV on the next tapings. And the question is TNA going to bury him? Or it really depends on how TNA produces him to see what's going to really happen with his future. Once again, Amir, thanks for the email.
And
keep them coming.
Too long.
And it was not too long.
No. And also, you know, JBL, I can't see him going to ECW. I can only see him at Raw.
You just a last word grabbing whore.
I have to do it.
I don't know why you have to get the last word.
Got to do All it, right, man.
So moving on, we received two audio comments from Floyd. I'm about to play those back to back. We'll be back with some comments from him, from his comments.
Hey, what's up, Sharpie? This is your boy Floyd, man. Just wanted to let you know it was a pretty good weekend, but you know, I don't want to talk about the IVs, the JBLs, the Triple H's, but I just want you guys to talk about two things. Number one, virtual. You know, why would they spend all that money, all that time, hype him up his gimmick, the pirate, everybody was loving that, and then he seems to get smashed week after week after week. And then, secondly, the whole Kevin Nash thing, you know, where the heck is this going? You know, when, why don't those, you know, X-Division guys run out there and gang up on him and beat him up? So, just two things, just two thoughts, you know, off the beaten trail. So, holla back. Peace. Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Floyd. Hey, I like the way y'all did the website, breaking down the items on the show. Very good, nice touch. I just want to say that I think that was a perfect ending to Raw, because, say, if you, even if you didn't want to watch Raw next week, you want to see Triple H and get out of joining that fans club. Kudos to Vince and the writers that finally got something right. A great ending to Raw. Peace.
All right, Floyd, let's tackle the first thing that you said. The thing about Paul Burchill, I think the issue with Paul Burchill, I think of all the people that got hype, we got hype, but from what I understand, that he's not getting the reaction from the crowd that they anticipated, which I think is a folly on WWE because they made him a good pirate.
Yes, being a pirate, I have never seen really a good pirate other than like Pirates of the Caribbean, and they weren't really that good in there. But you have to be evil. You have to be stealing. You have to have a parrot. You have to have a one-leg person. You got to have a bunction witch. You got to have a first mate. You got to be shooting cannons at people, exploding people in the back.
I just have to say that, like, his character works as a pirate. Really, so the only thing that he does is dress up as a pirate, maybe throw some booty out to the audience. But besides that, he doesn't do anything else.
He doesn't go, arg!
No. And then, I mean, the only time that you saw real good interaction with Burchill was when he was interacting with, you know, Regal.
Regal, yeah.
And he made him a bunction, whatchamacallit?
Winch. You know? And then he exploded with the dynamite and everything. He just seems like he didn't do, he isn't doing anything. And they need to just either forget the pirate thing, tragically, because it seems like they don't know what they're doing with it, or just turn him back into the hooligan.
Exactly. All right, so then he asked, you said about Kevin Nash and the X Division. I think what they're trying to do is, and I think this is the only way that TNA knows how to do it, they're trying to make the X Division more important, and the only thing that they know how to do is try to give wrestlers rub off of wrestlers with bigger names, i.e. a Kevin Nash. Eventually, I can see Chris Sabin, Kevin Nash having a fight where Chris Sabin defeats him, and when they're going to go, Chris Sabin, the Giant Killer, you know, trying to give more credit to the X Division.
Well, the X Division don't even not watch TNA.
Exactly.
If you had anything else, if you had James Gang and Pouncing Monty Brown, well, not, I like laughing at his character, so, but if you have like Lance Hoyton and Shark Boy, I'm not watching that. But if you got the X Division on there, it gives me reasons to watch. It gives me excitement. Give me something I don't get to see in WWE, and that's high fly action from cruiserweights or light heavyweights or, you know, talented people. Also, I feel the Kevin Nash thing works. Well, I don't understand why they don't have the X Division attacking Kevin Nash more, because he's expressing a lot of hatred toward them, and then it's like they don't, they don't get enough mic time. Like, they show the passion, like, oh, it's Kevin Nash, we're gonna bleep him up when he gets here.
Well, I actually understand why they do not attack him all at once, because in that...
Well, not all at once. No, I mean, run down and try to help
no,
him
even,
show some type of
well,
hatred.
Even gang up on him for the simple fact that he's going to say, look, it takes all you little men to beat just one big man. I mean, they can go at well, that angle.
They could.
I think eventually, though, it's just going to be Kevin Nash going through the X Division, and then eventually he's going to run into that bump in the row. Now, as for your last thing in the second voicemail, the time breakdown. Actually, Floyd, I'll have to give you credit. That was influenced by you, how you said that your favorite part of the show was listener feedback. Mm-hmm. I figured, why not give people the opportunity? Because I would love to do an enhanced podcast with that, eliminate so many people. So what I do is I decided, you know what, I'll just give the time on the website of where each segment is at, and then you can pick and choose what you listen to.
Kind of like a tape.
Kind of like
a
tape.
In which you can, like, fast forward it to, like, the next song.
So I hope you appreciate that. Well, it sounded like you did. All right, so thanks for the audio comment, Floyd. Mm-hmm. Once again, we encourage everybody else to use the audio. Username Skype or call the number 310-928-6889.
Funny, I don't remember that number.
Also, TJ, I got your voicemail, didn't quite understand it. Email me, maybe we can see what's going on. All right, we got an email from Ebert. He says, hi, guys. I'm going to limit my comments to Raw. After getting annually raped by Viscera, the coach's name, GM. What does that say about Vince McMahon? Why does he like people kissing his butt or taking it up the butt? I don't know.
That makes Vince McMahon one of those funny fellas, doesn't it?
I'm leaving that alone. The Kane match was pretty boring until the old Kane arrived. Is his name Abel? Is God going to get involved and ask him where is his brother? Is this when he kills him? If God does get involved, he needs to work on Abel's wig. That wig was worse than anything Diana Ross or Cher ever wore. Who the hell let that man walk out in public? I don't know.
Paul, look, I think Paul Bearer is going to come back and have something to do with this. It's that he had another demon seed by Mrs. Undertaker. He was burned up. He saved him, too. He didn't save him, but now he found out that he's a survivor, and now he's training him because he's seen his own personal seed, his prototype of a destruction Hellraiser. Kane is becoming soft because he's doing movies and tagging with the Big Show.
I would have to disagree with you. What I think they're doing, I think we're going just as crazy as Kane. We're seeing into his mind. I think what's going to happen, the new big hair Kane is going to defeat the Kane without the mask. Then they're going to merge, and it'll be just one Kane, and the old Kane go back to the mask. That's what I see.
I guess that can. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
But it's crazy, but it makes sense when it comes to
this.
Kane
would work on ECW. Could be like with a sci-fi job.
Once again, Marcus, you just need to have that last word. But anyway, I said my point. Umaga and Viscera are going to be a match of vengeance. I can schedule my bathroom break now. The diva thing doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even have the strength to comment about it. Once again, because no one understands Beth Phoenix and no one knows what her thing is.
No, but I don't really care currently about that. That tag match seemed the most useless thing ever. It just seemed like it was just there to fill time.
Blonde versus brunettes. John Cena versus Johnny Nitro. This is an official I don't give a crap match. When it comes to John, I'm seen enough. By the way, how can you go from being fired on SmackDown to wrestling for the championship title in 2 weeks? Also, why would Nitro's first match be a squash match? Because he's being punished. The biggest shock for me was Kurt Angle, and I think you're not the only one, Ebert, because I was like, oh, shit.
Well, let me comment right here, just a little bit. Well, when he's like the new age wrestling, I kind of wondered, but I wasn't sure. Could he pull Kurt Angle from there? That's what I was thinking. They were talking in the back, and they ran through my mind this current thing. I was like, could he?
Let me speak on this as I'm doing commentating with Conan, because he got to let me comment on everything. He said, I knew about Rob and Dam, but Kurt, I love it. However, this makes SmackDown so weak now. No Kurt, no JBL. What do you guys think? I think right now this is a big blow to SmackDown, but I think with Kennedy and Batista coming back, they can overcome the blow.
Because Batista was going to pretty much replace JBL's spot anyway. Uh-huh. And then I guess they didn't want to start a Lashley-JBL feud or a Kennedy-JBL feud, because I don't know how they're going to play Kennedy as a face or a heel, because crowd cheers him currently, but they booed him in the beginning and then they like cheered him still. I don't know how they're going to play him.
I don't know.
So it was a toss-up.
Ebert says, I'm totally happy with this week in wrestling. Had a scene from the movie The Princess Bride in it. Mm-hmm. I knew that was a cool that the Big Show was about to wrestle. Since he didn't beat Cena last one, I knew Edge would win. Okay, we got two tributes to soldiers. Now, two See No Evil clips. What next? An extra diva match? Another Rob Conway match? A televised leader speech? When will the madness end? A word about SmackDown. I can't wait until JBL shows up on Raw. You know he'll come to Raw, right? The final match, the best part of the match was the last 10 seconds of the show. Vince did his stupid dance with this odd facial expression for his Kiss My Ass Club announcement. But doesn't he know that Triple R... Rach already belongs to the Kiss My Ass Club. He actually is the founding member of the Stephanie McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. With that, peace out, brothers.
Now, I think the Kiss My Ass Club thing will be the turning point into the DX situation.
The tipping point?
Yes, the tipping point. It's going to be the point in which Triple H attacks Vince McMahon or something, and DX is kind of reformed somewhat. Uh-huh. Maybe you're getting a member in there or something.
You never know. All right, moving on to our next email. We get that from Manny. Thanks once again.
Oh, also, is Shawn Michaels really going to knee surgery?
Yeah, he had knee surgery already.
Is it like long term or is like?
They said that he might be able to. Hopefully, he will make it back for that one.
For Vengeance?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Manny sends in. What's up, guys?
Oh my God!
He gives us his retro TV show reference for this week: Ren and Stimpy, Happy Happy Joy Joy, MacGyver, the man who could turn a bicycle frame into a blowtorch, the man could break Chris Masters' master lock without even being in it.
Yes.
And from the Looney Tunes, Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And when you think about it, Wile E. Coyote is Mr. Safety First, the Monster Abyss. Abyss has all these weapons which he uses but backfired on him. That is so bad, but so true.
It's so true, man.
All right, he says, so Raw was rather interesting this week as they caught me off guard twice. Nitro Molina appearing on Raw and Kurt Angle being picked to go to ECW. A coach as executive assistant, interesting. What has he achieved really being in that position? Oral persuasion, being a platinum card holder of Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Kane versus Shelton Benjamin was actually pretty decent. The end was so random, the big red retard Kane chokeslams movie star Kane. This really doesn't make any sense. Now I think big red retard and has his dad, Paul Bearer, made a time machine and stole Dr. Emmons Brown DeLorean time machine from Back to the Future to send a message to Kane in the future. Once again, I hope somebody steals it and say, please take that damn wig off.
The wig, if they wrestle that wig, I can see it falling off.
And I have to refer to him as they do in the video game. It's going to either be Mask Kane or 90s Kane.
I'm calling one movies Kane, and I'm calling the other one Retro Kane.
All right, he says, Umaga destroyed Viscera again. My dad was laughing his head off when Umaga was kicking Viscera fat ass trying to get him in the ring. That was a great moment, and I would replay that moment over and over again.
In slow motion, like, God, you imagine those kicks.
Beth Phoenix is talent in the ring. Finally, the women's division has decent competition in the ring, especially with Melina on Raw. Now the women's division is only getting better. WWE creative, don't mess this up. I don't understand why Nitro had to be a jobber tonight losing to Cena in his first single match on Raw. Don't the WWE know Nitro knows the rules? And why the hell was Carlito, Charlie Haas, and even Masters not in action?
I don't know why they're not.
What is it with all Cena country cities that WWE has been visited of late? Go back to New York where they will boo the hell out of him and almost put him in tears. It comes down to taking out the kids. I'm going to hire my Samoan hitman.
Oh my God!
To do the job. And Mark Free Willy Henry, who stops when he is ready.
Free Willy?
He eats up those kids like a $3.95 piece of buffet. Even the great Khali would walk through the jungle chomping any Cena fan within reach. First of all, West Coast people love John Cena. It's just a proven fact.
So, is this Washington, D.C. or the other?
Tacoma, Washington. It's up north.
So it just seems like the West Coast. Or could it be there's a time shift in the world and that when Evil Kang walked through his evil portal,
shut up.
Time-lapsed the world.
Shut up so I can finish the
email.
And now
we're in like a parallel universe where they're cheer Cena.
You know what? I'm going back with the email. Foley, how stupid you gotta be. Don't agree when someone calls you a prostitute. You strike back, you clown, and it looks like Mick Foley traded his suit for his homeless man attire back at the shelter. Last year, Foley said on color commentary at One Night Stand, people call Bubba Ray a cheap Cactus Jack ripoff, and then made reference to what Heyman said about his ass as well. Once again, this promo was great again. Heyman selecting Kurt Angle to go to ECW has made me interested in the direction of ECW as I thought it was going to be Matt Hardy, the guy doing a great job on SmackDown, getting his ass kicked week after week. Well, they have no use for Hardy because they already have Mikey Whipwreck.
There's no proof that Mikey Whipwreck's coming back. He has a lot of independent shows.
He has a better shot than New Jack.
Yeah, but anyway, also about wrestlers coming back right quick, Randy Orton's coming back eventually.
To 13th, supposedly. Today, actually, it could be a possibility he comes back. Hardy should go to ECW, and hopefully if they can sign Brother Jeff as well, that would be awesome. With Edge becoming the number one contender, that Vengeance poster that has been floating around Wrestling War seems rather true. My theory, Mick Foley or Edge, will somehow interfere at One Night Stand during a WWE title match for their love of the WWE. Triple H versus Kenny, not much here to say apart from the end when Triple H was crawling on the outside while getting beaten. He looked under the ring, realized nothing was there, and found his friend under the timekeeper's table. That was great. He should nail Kenny with the sledgehammer so Jerry Lawler could have ended Raw saying, "Oh my God, you killed Kenny." I think the return of DX will last a lot longer than many people will expect. If you consider merchandise sales, it looked at Cena, they could have turned him heel 6 months ago, but they kept him face as he was making a hell of a lot of money for Vince in merchandise sales. Also, bring DX may interest many of the people that stopped watching wrestling after their Attitude Era and bring back more viewers into the product. In regards to the show, with ECW returning, you guys said last week, ECW would be TNA direct competitor. Why not have the ECW and TNA recap as one show and then have Raw and SmackDown recap as the other show? Well, Manny, the reason why we cannot do that is because then the WWE show will be extremely too long. Because that's both two-hour shows condensed into... And I can't talk about WWE for one whole solid show. I need to have a good mix.
So that's why it's going to be mixed? And are you going to mix it with ECW and SmackDown?
I have not decided yet. I'm still thinking. Mm. He entered his email, Peace Manny Umaga.
Oh, I'm not going to yell it?
No, it's okay.
Umaga.
So thanks, Manny. You made great points. Moving on to
great comments.
We're moving on to our next email from Drew, a new emailer. He says, thank you for your comments at the end of your past podcast about Shawn Michaels and his face. I read many update pages and also listened to other wrestling podcasts, and yours so far has been the only one to point out Shawn Michaels' face and the effect that it would have on the reformation of Generation X. I feel that it would be better as a one-night event in order to pay respect to both Michaels' face and the legacy of DX. It would be nice to see Triple H and Shawn Michaels to work together in a program again, but not under the banner of DX. There is no possible way for them to reach the same levels of success as if Michael digressed in his action but turned to his face. He would have lost my respect even more than he did when he tagged up with God. Drew from San Diego. I would have to agree.
619.
This is a very touchy situation for Shawn Michaels, especially because he is a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Read some of his book. All the stuff that he did when DX, the drinking, the sex, and all that, I'm surprised he's even doing the chop, considering to me that's kind of risque. I don't know how far they go. They might have Shawn Michaels just being there with Hunter doing all the extreme stuff, but I think the only thing that we can do is let time take its course.
Or they can just have Shawn Michaels be like the leader of D-Generation X and have, not Triple H take it over for him, but... Him and Triple H being like the head guys, and Shawn Michaels may play like the Ric Flair role in which he wrestles a few cases sometimes.
Or
is his knee supposed to be a little bad right now?
This is going to sound corny. This is going to sound corny, but I'm going to throw this out there. Next week on Raw, what can happen is Shawn sends a letter to Triple H. Don't join the Kiss the Ass Club. Come see me in the hospital. He visits Shawn in the hospital. Shawn is like, Hunter, you need to do it. We need to bring DX back, but I'm not 100% to do it right now. Get together, people, and bring DX to take down McMahon. You know,
you can't just say it like
where
that.
Shawn is not a part of it, but, you know, he's still giving the nod. I don't know. Like I said, like Drew said, Shawn Michaels is in a hard situation because his faith is being tested. As an actor, it's just, he's going, all the people that believe him, his Christianity and all that, we're just going to look at him like, how can you say these things and then do these?
And just give Bret Hart more fire and be like, yes, told you.
It's going to be like how you felt, Marcus, after you read the Mace book. You were moved by Mace, and then all of a sudden you found out he was rapping again.
Why would you bring something like, I was not moved by Mace.
You were, that he turned his life around. And the last email.
Hold on, I want to go ahead. I feel with this DX situation, what he should do. I said it again, I got to comment on it. Damn it.
Let me speak on this.
Anyway, I feel what they're going to do, really, it's BDX, but not BDX. They're going to disobey Vince McMahon, but I don't believe they're going to be like having women like flash them and everything else they do in the DX, you know, like suck it all day. Let's play strip poker and everything else they did. I think it's going to be a very toned down. It's just going to be DX. You're going to see a chop here and there. And some DX shirts, but it's nothing really the same. I can't see it like going, let's go suck it and jumping in Lillian's face and jumping in like, God, take suck my crotch and, you know, all that stuff. Said crotch.
This is what you spoke on it about. Marcus, whatever.
Yes,
all right. In a long time, it's been a while since that epic Floyd email where he bashed our show said that we suck. Well, people, we have reached that point again. We have another email not liking how the sharpshooters do the show. We received this email from Nick. He said, hey, Eric and Marcus, I was just listening to your podcast, and I have to say that it's not too good. I mean, here's some areas where you should work on. You always are talking over each other. You talk about the same thing for like a half hour. That lost my interest. You play little music. You two sound like kids trying to be adults.
Mm.
Please work on that, and we'll bring a lot more visitors. Well, first of all, let's talk about you always talk over each other. Me and Marcus are brothers. I'm going to talk over him. He's going to talk over me.
It happens.
Compared to episode 1 through 40, it's a lot better now. Yeah. I think now that we have our own mic, we can kind of see each other's faces. And when he wants to say something, I want to say something. But the point is, we like to talk over each other.
It's not. It's habit. Because when we talk to each other when we're not on the show, we used to be like, Eric, what are you doing, man? I'll be like, oh, I'm going to the story. Where you go by? Go blah, 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 stuff like that. And it just goes into like a deleted
And then sometimes you have to stop Marcus because he gets on his rants about nothing.
Yes.
Then he says you talk about the same thing for like a half hour. That lost. Well, actually, we talk about wrestling. If there's something that really, you know, captivated our interest, we like to try to examine every angle possible that we can. And sometimes we do overkill it. And sometimes I'm bored. But unfortunately, Marcus is very long-winded and he likes to comment almost everything.
I like to comment almost everything. And the reason probably we comment on everything over and
that
over.
That you comment on everything.
That we comment on everything over and over again. One, maybe there's something that happened, like you said, something big happened. We have to go over every angle, try to cover it. Sometimes it's filler, in which we don't want it to be the short sharpshooter show, like 23. Because this Raw show, if we don't comment on like certain stuff, like
look, see, day, Marcus says like a lot.
I say like. Like we could, like in the old days, we cut. We didn't even take notes. We cut like segments out and read them in any type of order. It was a short show. Now Eric tries to structure the show more, and I believe we somewhat are trying to improve.
Unfortunately, I cannot structure Marcus because he rambles on and repeats things. But hey,
yes.
The next comment, Marcus has no comment about this one because this is my call. We play little music. Reason why we play little music, this is not a music show. It is about wrestling. The music that we have the TNA intro music, the Raw, SmackDown music, and these little clips that we have. I did try to play music at the end. I felt that was too time-consuming to try to find music from the Posse Music Network. And a lot of the music that I like is copyrighted. So right now, I'm on a little kick where I play music from the show that even a listener pick in from back in the day or a show that I pick. This week, I have my own theme music from a show that I pick.
So from a childhood fantasy.
If I put this, no. I don't know what it is. If you look to this thing about music, you're not going to get it. If you want to hear about wrestling, you might get it. Also, with the thing, if you know how we rant, if you want to just hear a couple of things, like if you just want to hear the news and the feedback, now we have the time things. Because the only time we really rant is when we're in the reports. Because we give our opinion. And the last thing...
And we don't write our opinions down, do we?
No.
And I just talked over you again.
And the last thing, you sound like kids trying to be adults. Well, actually, we're adults trying to be kids. To me, wrestling is fun. I watch it. I'm supposed to have fun. It makes me feel like a kid again.
Yeah, if I'm not yelling and I'm talking serious like this... Remember that episode when I was just like, well, my comment was just about Triple H won the King of the Ring. That's boring to me. And I actually listen to the show just to hear myself yell sometimes because I'm an egomaniac sometimes. Just to hear, like, how loud can I really get? Just ignore that. Like, it has to have some excitement. I don't want it to be just a toned down, still played all the way. It has to have the yelling, the excitement, the kiddie. It has to be kiddie. I like the kiddiness. I wouldn't mind saying that.
Here we go, Marcus ramble.
Yes, another ramble indeed. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I like the structure that, because wrestling is fun, like you said, and you got to have fun doing this. It's like you can't invent a slide without going down it.
The end is like, we do it for fun. We've never asked for any money. And it's either like us or you hate us. I mean, this is our style. I mean, if you want more professional, I'm pretty sure there's more wrestling podcasts out there. But what we try to bring to the table is fun. If more people listen to the show, so be it. If not, we're happy with who we got.
Remember the time.
Like, my thing is, once it stopped being fun, that's when the show stops. Right now, I'm having time of my life. You know, we don't know where me and Marcus' life might turn. You know, he might get a job and can't do the show as much. But like I said, right now, it's fun. It's a hobby. We're going to make it do what we do, baby.
We do what we do.
So, but once again, we thank you for your criticism, Nick. I mean, we will agree. Talking over each other is something that we need to improve on. But the other things is, that shit ain't going to change.
Doing this is the horrendous episode 1 and 2 I like, but the sound quality was horrible.
All right, now it's time to get back to a positive note. Like I said, thank you once again.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
No, because you're going to keep it low. I just want to
say, it's not going to be low.
Yeah, you said that last time.
I promise. Okay? I promise.
Okay, if you go low, I'm turning off your mic.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I encourage hate mail or feedback to try to improve this show. We encourage that.
I don't, you know what? I honestly don't consider it hate mail.
It's not hate, improvement, feedback. I feel like
this was just feedback of his honest opinion of what would bring more visitors to the show.
But still,
honestly,
I encourage hate
mail. Probably will. More structure to the show probably would bring more people that make us sound like professionals, but we have no ties to the wrestling business.
We have no journalist skills.
We have no, well, I have a little bit more, and I think I might go back to school, so I have a lot of fun for this. But
hey, I got to end my composition class.
But anyway, like I said, it's about fun. Now, let's get back to fun. Marcus, give me your closing comments.
Oh, that time of the show, huh?
Yes.
My closing comments is about nothing. I have none, I don't believe. No.
All right, so we shouldn't hear you interrupt me no more throughout the show, huh?
Unless I remind you to give you a retro cartoon.
No, I have that already. It's not even a cartoon. I'm going old school real quick.
All right, he's going to take us old.
Since it was Doogie Howser last weekend. I have logic behind this. All right, before I even get my closing comments, it's the website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. The email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Like Nick, you can send any type of comments about the show, about anything. And I appreciate, too, like Floyd had a comment. He didn't point out the obvious, the Berkshire stuff. I like comments like that when we don't focus on the obvious. Also, you can call us at 310-928-6889. Leave a voicemail. And we have the Frapper Map Podcast Alley and all that good stuff.
And eventually we have a poll.
Maybe. Now, with that out of the way, it is time for my retro pick of the night. Now, I was thinking about all these factions forming up. You know, Cruz, you have Umaga and Armando Alejandro Reloso. You have Melina and Nacho.
Wait, come on. Wait a minute.
No, I'm not. Marcus, let me go with my point. Let me go with my point.
It's not Reloso.
It doesn't matter. He was a baseball player. Then you have the Spear Squad, and you have the formation of DX. So I said, self, who's one of the favorite factions that you enjoyed back in the day? And I said to myself, well, you have Face, you have Murdoch, you have B.A. Baracus, and then you have the man that smoked the cigar that I can't think of his name. And no better than end this show with the A-Team. The A-Team is my retro pick with the van that I wanted as a child, had all the toys. The A-Team kicked ass.
Church.
So with that on note, the A-Team music is playing right now. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll see you guys on Saturday for episode 75.
The 75th anniversary of the Sharpshooters.
Hell no, it's just another episode.
No
sweepstakes? No.
No. Oh, I got grand finale shoes.
No.
You're not going to see. Is anybody going to see the new grand finale
Marcus,
movie?
Marcus,
I See No Evil.
Marcus, I'm just turning up the mic. That's it. Say bye bye to everybody, Marcus.
Bye.
All right. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus the Grand Finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys again. We're out of here. I'm rich.
You're not dangerous.
I know.